Good morning. We certainly appreciate the presence of everyone, and we're glad that you have come together and you have joined together to worship the Lord this morning. We are encouraged by the presence of everyone. This morning is January the 2nd, 2011, the first Sunday of the new year. And as we think along those lines, we commonly think of maybe some things that we might bring from God's Word that would encourage us along the lines of starting off the new year right. We typically think about maybe resolutions or changes or progress in some good spiritual way that we might make. And as I think along those lines this morning, I think that we can turn to God's Word to help us along those lines. There is a biblical matter that we're told about in the Word of God, fire in our heart, that I think would be good to consider as we begin this new year. One thing that we commonly think about with regard to this matter is that we want to improve. We want to be better in the new year. We want to serve God more faithfully. How can we do that? One point that comes to mind is the matter of a burning zeal for God. Do we have that burn in us, that zeal in us, that fervor in us to serve the God that we serve better this year than maybe we have last year? Do we have fire in our heart? In the scripture reading that we just had in Jeremiah chapter 20, if you will turn there again, you'll notice a few things about the context of Jeremiah. First of all, this is a chapter dealing with the trials that he's going through. Jeremiah the prophet was persecuted. The children of Israel at this time, just before the Babylonian captivity, many of them did not want to listen to his message. They didn't want to hear a word from God, and they threw him in prison. They rejected his word. Later in the book, when he wrote down his message, the king cut it up and burned it in the fire. There were those who did not want to listen to the word of God. And in the midst of this persecution, look at Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 8. He says that there is violence around him. There are those who mock me. Everyone mocketh me, verse 7. And in the context of thinking about the serious persecution that is against him, he says in verse 9, well, maybe I just won't speak anymore. Maybe I just won't talk anymore if it means bringing persecution. And so in verse 9, if I say I will not make mention of him nor speak any more of his name, then there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones. Maybe I just won't say anything. And I won't get the persecution that comes from that. But then as I began to think about that, and as I began to say in my heart, well, I just won't say anything, there was a burning fire that I just could not ignore. Because of the magnitude of God's Word and the importance of God and His Word and the importance of my work as a prophet, it's like I'm shutting up a burning fire inside me, and that cannot be done. He says, I am weary with forbearing, I cannot contain. I'm not going to be able to do this. It might be convenient, it might be nice not to say anything anymore, but that's not going to work because it's a burning fire and I can't keep it closed up. The question I raise this morning, brethren and friends, as we begin this new year is your heart on fire? Does your heart burn like that of Jeremiah? As we begin this new year, we need to understand that if we are to remain faithful and if we are to grow and improve and get better as a Christian, it's going to take the fire in us to do that. And we're not talking this morning about some sort of external emotional factor that gets us going that doesn't have any lasting value. We're talking about what Jeremiah said. His word was as a burning fire. We're talking about that which truly makes us burn with desire to serve the Lord. Do you have that fire in you? Do you have heartburn? When we think about physical heartburn, we think about that which comes up in our body, maybe after eating a big meal, and it's painful, it hurts, it burns. And it's so serious with some that there are those who have cancer of the esophagus because they've had to deal with acid reflux and heartburn, and it's a serious matter for them. What we're talking about this morning is the serious matter of spiritual heartburn. Does our heart burn within us concerning God and His Word and God's service? If it doesn't, then we're going to find ourselves later in the lesson along the lines of those Christians whose fire has gone out. If our heart is not burning, the fire is not there, and we don't serve the Lord as we should. Do you have heartburn? David's heart burned. Turn with me to Psalm 39. We need to have a burn inside of us to serve the Lord. In Psalm 39, in a similar context, David is talking about those around him who are persecuting him. Psalm 39, verse 1, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb or silent with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. Psalm 39, 3, my heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Jehovah, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is. Let me know how frail I am. David's heart burned within him as he contemplated how to deal with those around him who were persecuting him. And yet he didn't want to sin with his tongue. And he was concerned about living right and doing right. Turn with me to Psalm 119, the great psalm concerning the Word of God. Psalm 119 and verse 53. Backing up a couple of verses, Psalm 119, verse 52, I have remembered thine ordinances of old, O Jehovah, I have comforted myself. Hot indignation hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. There was a burning within David as he realized that there are people on the outside that are not living according to God's Word. That burnt inside of him. When we're truly hearing and believing and obeying the Word of God, we're going to burn to motivate to obey that and do that. And when other people forsake the law of God, that is going to burn within us. A hot indignation burned within him as he realized that there were many who did not live according to the Word of God. Do we still have that heart burn within us? Sometimes we can be so surrounded by sin for so long that burning goes away and it's just casual. Well, sin. People forsake the law of God, no big deal. It doesn't burn anymore like it did maybe years ago. David's heart burned. Ezekiel's heart burned and Jeremiah's heart burned. We already looked at Jeremiah chapter 20. Come back with me to Jeremiah chapter 5. The reason that Jeremiah had a burning heart was that the Word of God is like a fire. And when that Word of God is truly within us, we're reading and meditating on it. And as we begin the new year, we need to think about reading God's Word on a regular and daily basis. That Word of God, Jeremiah 5:14. Wherefore, thus saith Jehovah, the God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. God's word is like a fire. If you look at chapter 23 and verse 29, it's like a hammer, it's like a fire. And when that is in us, our heart is going to burn to do God's word and God's will. Ezekiel's heart burned. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel had a similar commission. He's going to God's people during the Babylonian captivity, and he's to be a watchman, and he's to take God's word, and he's to warn the wicked of their way, and he's to encourage the righteous to remain righteous. And as he's given this commission in Ezekiel chapter 3, we read in verse 14, so the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. That's the same thing as saying that he was burning inside. in the heat of my spirit, and the hand of Jehovah was strong upon me. Then I came to them of the captivity. Verse 16, and it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and you give him not warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at thy hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. What was Ezekiel's job as a watchman? It was very challenging, it was very difficult to take the word of God to people who don't want to hear it. And earlier in the chapter, he's told that he will be going to people who don't want to hear it. What keeps a person going in that circumstance? A burning spirit inside. The devil wants us to be cold. The devil wants us to be lukewarm. The devil wants us to lose that burn that is within us and just sort of rock along with things in this world and go along with things in this world. We need to have the burning Word of God within us. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. After the resurrection of Jesus, those two on the way to Emmaus. And Jesus met up with them and spoke with them. Their heart burned within them. As we begin this new year, I want us to think about the importance of having a heart that burns within us, that burns with the Word of God, that motivates us to study and learn and grow, that motivates us to obedience, that motivates us to be better this year in the future than maybe we have in the past. What is that going to take? We're not going to accomplish that through some sort of outward fun and games. It's not going to be accomplished by some sort of external poking and prodding. It's going to come from within. And we need to burn like these two on the road to Emmaus. We find in Luke chapter 24 and verse 30, and it came to pass when he had sat down with them to meat, he took the bread and blessed, and breaking it gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight, and they said one to another, Was not our heart burning within us while he spake to us in the way, while he opened us the Scriptures? Does your heart burn within you? And notice again in verse 32 what accomplished that. It was not some external set of circumstances that is often promoted in the religious world today. We're going to get people motivated through fun and games. It wasn't that. Read the verse again. Did not our heart burn within us while he spake and while he opened the Scriptures? That's what makes our heart burn. Not inviting people in for fun and games. Not inviting people in for food and that type of thing. But the Scriptures in our lives. Does your heart burn? Does your heart burn within you? You can't wait to open it up to read it. You can't wait to go out and obey it. Somebody says, well, I don't really have that feeling. That's what the lesson is all about. How can we get that feeling back if we don't have it in our lives? Do you have heartburn? Like David and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and the two on the road to Emmaus. It has to do with our attitude toward God's Word. There are those who have let that fire die. Not everybody keeps the fire going. There are those who have let that fire die. They have let that enthusiasm get out of their life. Let's look at a couple of examples in the Scripture. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. This passage has been abused and misused by many. It's not talking about events at the second coming of Christ. These events in this immediate context here around verse 12 is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem that has already taken place in AD 70. And some events leading up to that would be very challenging. The events leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem would be very challenging and very difficult. And Christians would be a part of these events. Well, we find in Matthew chapter 24, in verse 5, we find that there are going to be many false prophets leading people astray. In verses 6 and 7, there's going to be wars. This is going to be the Roman army coming up against Jerusalem. There's going to be famines. There's going to be physical problems, lack of food. When the Roman army surrounded Jerusalem and besieged it for 2 to 3 years, that they were not able to eat. These are difficult times. Verse 8, but all these things are the beginning of travail. This is a very difficult time. There's going to be tribulation. There's going to be people killed. Verse 9. Let's start reading in verse 10. And then shall many stumble and shall deliver up one another and shall hate one another. Difficult and challenging times will test to see if you're faithful or not. And these difficult and challenging times cause some people to stumble and become unfaithful. And we're going to see why in just a moment. We're going to see why it's important to have the fire in your heart. Let's keep reading. Verse 11. And many false prophets shall arise and lead many astray. Some are going to stop following the truth. Why? And because iniquity shall be multiplied, the love of many shall grow cold. Here's the answer to a lot of this, and that is that I don't love God and His Word anymore. Instead of fire, now it's cold. And because it's cold, we have all of these things happening. I'm being led astray. Look at verse 9. I'm delivering up my friends. I'm hating and being hated. Why? Because the love of many is growing cold. Why is it important to have the fire in our heart? Because that's what keeps us faithful. That's what keeps us loving the truth. We're not going to be led astray by these false prophets. Look at the very next verse, verse 13. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. What does it take to endure to the end of this Roman besieging of Jerusalem, the fall of Jerusalem? What is it going to take to get through that and be saved? What is it going to take? We've got to remain faithful to the Lord. We can't have a love that grows cold. Some people let the fire go out. We'll talk about this more later, but they let the fuel go out. And you can tell when a fire is going out. The flames are not as high. The heat is not as hot. And it's like in the wintertime, constantly keeping a wood stove going. You've got to constantly be working at that. You've got to constantly be feeding the fuel. Some, between the time that Jesus said this and AD 70, they didn't heed these words. They didn't keep the fuel going. They didn't keep the fire going. And the love of many grew cold. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. He's warning his disciples, saying, don't be like that. There will be many who are. There are individuals who let the fire go out. They don't love the Lord anymore. They become unfaithful. But it can happen to churches as well. We're not talking simply about individual Christians, but a local congregation. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. We're very familiar. Revelation chapter 2, and then we'll look at chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 2, with regard to the church at Ephesus, we find that they were doing some things that were right, but we have in verse 4, Revelation 2 and verse 4, but I have this against you, that you did leave your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you are fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I come and will remove your candlestick out of its place. They've left their first love. The fire had gone out. They were keeping house. They were still worshiping. In fact, they were doing some things that were good. Verse 2, they would not allow false teachers to come in. You can still be doing some things and on the inside have a love that's gone. Just going through the motions. The interesting thing about that, look at verse 4 again, the word first. That's an interesting word. In this context, it's not talking about the number one. You have left your first love. The Greek word here is the idea of importance, preeminence. A love that is first. A love that puts God as a priority. It's not talking about number one, two, three, and four. It's not a numerical first. It's a what is important. A love that comes at the first. A love that comes at the beginning. It would be like this. A love that you have when you first get married. The love that you have on your honeymoon. What kind of a love is that? It's a love of a very strong and high degree. That's the word that's being used here. A love that comes at the very first, when you come up out of those waters of baptism and you've obeyed the Lord, that love that you have for the Lord, that's gone. You let the fire go out. Look at the church at Laodicea in Luke chapter 3. I'm sorry, Revelation chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 3, concerning Laodicea, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. The fire had gone already. Hadn't gone completely out, but it had gotten down to lukewarm. And we know the reason. Look at the very next verse. I am rich and have gotten riches. This church had a problem with materialism. The material things of life had sucked the fire out, had dampened the fire, had quenched the fire down to the level of lukewarm. There are Christians with a dying fire. There are some, the fire's gone all the way out. There are others, they're on their way, they're lukewarm. Where are you? Where am I? As we begin the new year, we need to have a heart that burns. Hearts on fire, like Jeremiah, like Ezekiel, and like these others that we've discussed. We don't want to be cold. We don't want to be lukewarm, just keeping house. That is a prime target for the devil. Is your fire going out? Is my fire going out? Good question. How do you know a fire is going out? Well, just look at it. When the fuel is not being replaced, when you don't keep the wood on the fire, just watch the fire. Watch a campfire for a little while. The flames get lower. The heat is not as hot. You can tell when a fire is going out, right? Well, let's ask the question of our lives this morning. How do we know if the fire is going out? Let's look at a few things. First of all, has there been a reduction in my hunger for the truth? A fire goes out when the fuel is reduced. When there's a reduction in fuel, the fire's going to go out. And so let's talk about a few things. Is the fire going out? Well, number one, is there a reduction in my hunger for truth? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, there were those at the church at Ephesus. And let's remind ourselves that Timothy was left in Ephesus. Remember that? He's preaching at the church in Ephesus. This may give us some indication as to why later in Revelation 2, they had left their first love. Before Revelation 2 is written, 2 Timothy 4 is written, and in the church at Ephesus, 2 Timothy 4:3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust, and will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside unto fables. That's Ephesus, and a few years later in Revelation we read that they had left their first love. You think there's a connection between the two? Absolutely. Some of them no longer wanted the truth. Let me ask you this. Am I reading my Bible as much as I was earlier in life? Am I studying? Am I reading on a daily basis? Or has there been a reduction in my hunger for truth? Do I find myself asking for sermons and Bible classes that entertain or that give me truth? Do I want fun and games or do I want truth? As years go by, there can be a reduction in my hunger for truth, and that's going to make the fire go out. Is there a reduction in my involvement in the Lord's work? Am I like the man in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 25 that buries the talent? I don't want to get involved. I don't want to use my talent. I'm going to bury my talent. He's described as wicked and slothful later. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to work. Has there been a reduction in my level of involvement in the church through the years? I don't teach Bible class. I don't volunteer to help in this way. I don't volunteer to help in that way. That could be a sign that the fire is going out. It's my hunger for truth that keeps the fire going. It's my involvement and my service that keeps the fire going. I have to honestly look and see if the fire is still going or not. And then last of all, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Has there been a reduction in my assembling with the saints? Well, I'll miss this service. I could be there, but I just don't want to put forth the effort. We're not talking about illness. We're not talking about inclement weather. We're talking about when I can physically be here and I just choose not to. And in years gone by, I attended a lot more. I attend less now. When we're here, we keep the fire going. How do I know that? Well, look at Hebrews 10 and verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Let's just stop right there. The word provoke means to stir up. How do you keep a fire going? You walk up with a poker and you stir it up. You keep the fuel on there, you stir up the ashes, you keep that thing going. Provoke here means to stir up. That's involved in keeping the heat going in our lives. And we do that how? Not forsaking our own assembling together. When we're here, we're stirring ourselves up. We're keeping the fire going through the songs and the prayers and the Bible study and the Lord's Supper and all of the things that we do here, our singing. We're stirring ourselves up. We're keeping that fire going. But if there's been a reduction in my assembling and I just don't come like I used to, then the fire is going to go out. Forsaking our own assembly, as is the custom of some, but exhorting one another so much as the more you see the day drawing nigh. These are some indications. You might be able to think of some others. But when I don't read my Bible as much as I used to, and I don't hunger for truth, and when I don't get involved as much as I used to, and when I don't assemble as much as I used to, the fire is going to go out. And it's going to start by me being lukewarm, flame goes down, and then it just goes out altogether. We've got to keep the fire in our heart. Well, how can we do that? How can we keep that flame going? We need to understand that fire is needed. We need the fire in our heart to save souls. Do we try to set up a Bible study? Do we try to talk with someone about the gospel? Eric was mentioning that Wednesday night. Look at Romans 1 and 15. Paul said, as much as in me is, I want to preach the gospel to you also that are at Rome. As much as in me is, he had a fire in him about sharing the gospel with others. And the reason is, chapter 14 and verse 12, he said, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We all have to give an account to God. That's why I'm out preaching. If the fire is gone, then I'm not going to want to talk with my neighbor. We'll talk about sports. We'll talk about other kinds of things. But I'm not going to talk with him about saving his soul and telling him that he's going to have to stand before an almighty God in the judgment day. We've got to have the fire in us. That's what keeps us active in talking with friends and family and spouses and neighbors about saving souls. As much as in me is a fire burned within Paul. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 1 and in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, he said that he cried over his lost brethren. He cried and he would give himself, if he could, to save them. There was a fire inside of Paul. That's needed to save souls. Otherwise, we get so cold that we pass by people who are traveling the broad way that leads to destruction and we don't say a thing to them. Fire is needed to remain vigilant. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12. We've got to stay vigilant. The devil is on the prowl. We've got to keep the fire lit and burning to stay watchful. This is spoken in the days of when fire was used for a lamp or when fire was used for a torch. And it became a symbol, a burning fire became a symbol of vigilance and being watchful for the adversary. And so Luke chapter 12 and verse 35 concerning Jesus coming again, let your loins be girded about and your lamps burning and be yourselves like unto men looking for their Lord when he shall return from the marriage feast. That when he cometh and knocketh, they may straightway open unto him. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat, and shall come and serve them. Ready for when the Lord comes. Vigilance. Keep the fire burning. Many people will not be ready for the Lord when he comes again because there is no fire. There is no vigilance. Fire is needed to run the race. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, Paul said that I have run the race. I have finished the course. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. What does it take to do that? Fire. We're not going to quit. We're not going to give up early. We're going to remain faithful all the way through our Christian life, even though there are challenges along the way. There were challenges for Paul. There were false teachers who were against him. There were physical persecutions that were against him. And he finished that race. What does it take? The fire. You can move a big object with fire. I think about those old steam engines of the late 1800s and early 1900s. Tons and tons of steel and iron. How do you move that? You get a boiler. And you get that thing hot. And you use that fire and that heat and that pressure to move. And when there is a fire in our heart, it can move us forward and advance us forward in the right direction and do great things. Fire is needed to love our brethren. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Sometimes there are problems in local congregations when brethren do not get along, they're not unified, they do not work together, they do not sacrifice one for another. And what's happened is that brethren are coming in keeping house, but there's no fire on the inside to fervently love. The other word that is used in the New Testament that's associated with fire is the word fervent and the word zeal. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, 22, seeing that you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another from the heart fervently. The Greek word there, literally, with fire. Fire is needed to love our brethren. But when we come in lukewarm or cold, we're not going to love our brethren. We're going to say and do things that mistreat them. Fire is needed to stay unified and loving one toward another. Look at chapter 4 and verse 8. Above all things, fervent in your love among yourselves, for love covereth a multitude of sins. What keeps sin out of the local congregation? A fervent love one toward another. And that's a love that's on fire. We need fire to contend earnestly for the faith. There are a lot of false teachings, there are a lot of false doctrines today that assail and assault the Lord's church. We've got to take our Bible in our hand and contend earnestly for the faith. We've got to pick up the sword of the Spirit. It takes a fire and a zeal to pick up the sword of the Spirit and defend the truth of God's Word. We live in a culture that tears down God and His Word, that tears down the New Testament church, and it takes a fire to contend earnestly for the faith. We need the fire, brethren. And that's why godly men and women of old realized that and had that in their lives, as we've seen in this lesson. Well, what does it take? Somebody says, well, I don't think I have the fire that I should have. Maybe I've seen a reduction in my hunger for truth, or my involvement in the church, or my assembling with the saints. Maybe I've seen that I'm not as hot as I was years ago. What can I do to rekindle that? Well, what does it take to get a fire going again? Stir up the flames. Put some wood on the fire. Put some fuel on the fire. Get it going again. Stir it up. We need to spend time making sure that that fire is going. Let me suggest a few things. Number one, the place to start is God's Word. Spend some time with the right words of God. Look again at the two on the road to Emmaus in verse 32. Did not our hearts burn within us? And then what does the verse say? As He opened the Scriptures to us. That's how you get the fire going again. Just open up your Bible. Keep a Bible on the nightstand. Keep a Bible next to you, in your room, in your home, and open it up. Maybe more of that and less of TV. Maybe more of that and less of the computer. Those things have their time and place, and there's nothing wrong with those things. But Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. We need to be opening up that Word of God and reading those words and loving those words, and that will make us burn inside with those things that are good for us. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, Peter talks about that you long for the milk of the Word. You desire like a newborn babe who is hungry for his or her mother's milk is not just, well, I can take or leave it. No, they're crying for that. There's an anguish for that. They long for that. That needs to be our attitude toward the Word of God. Do we need to rekindle the fire? Let's start with spending more time with God's Word. Another thing that will help will be spending time with the right people. If we're out in the world and worldly associations are having a negative influence on us, it's going to get rid of the fire. It's going to quench the fire. It's going to dampen the fire. Turn to Romans chapter 12. We've got to spend more time with godly people. Christians, in other words, members of the Lord's church. And no matter how big or small we are in the local church, let's put a priority on associating with other right people who are trying to go to heaven. The more we spend time with those in the world, the more they're going to dampen that fire. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. In love of the brethren, be tenderly affectioned one to another, in honoring, preferring one another. There needs to be a preference in being with our brethren and spending time loving them and being with them. Verse 13, communicating to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality. The more we spend time with one another, we're going to encourage one another and build each other up. We're going to keep that fire going in the wicked world that we live in. But the more we spend with evil associations, bad company, 1 Corinthians 15:33, bad company corrupts good morals. And we wonder why the fire is going out. It may be we're not reading God's Word. It may be that we're spending more time with worldly people. We've got to be actively carrying out the Word of God. Look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 13. When we're involved in the local church, what can I do? What can I do here at the building? What can I do outside the building to help this local church? In Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, in diligence, not slothful, fervent, literally on fire, serving the Lord. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. When I'm on fire serving the Lord, I keep the fire going. I'm going to volunteer to do something that will help out. I want to come down here and do something in the building. Outside the building, I'll do something with brethren to help them. The shut-ins, the sick, whatever the case might be. I'm going to be involved with right actions. Look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Why did Jesus die on the cross? That he might gain unto himself or purchase unto himself a people zealous, that's the other Greek word, on fire, zealous of good works. That word literally means boiling over, bubbling over. Zealous of good works. When I hear in the announcements that things need to be done, when I hear in the announcements that I can go help somebody, let's try to make a priority to do that. When we spend time engaged in those things with our brethren, we'll keep the fire going. We might need to make some changes in our life. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's see how this word fervent is used in this way. We always want to be changing for the better. Is there something that we can change from last year? Is there something that went on last year that needs to be changed? Let's be on fire about that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, the immediate context deals with these brethren harboring the fornicating brother, and that needed to be changed. And so we find in verse 11, "For behold, this selfsame thing, that you were made sorry after a godly sort. What earnest care it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what avenging. In everything you approved yourselves to be pure in the matter." They cleared that thing up. They were on fire to clear that thing up. Zeal, indignation, these words deal with burning. What happened was, 1 Corinthians 5, they got caught fellowshipping and harboring a fornicating brother, and Paul writes a letter to them, and it moves them, and by this second letter, they cleared that thing up. They made a change. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19, talking about that lukewarm church Laodicea, Jesus said, "Be zealous, therefore, and repent." You know, you have to be on fire just as much about making changes as anything else. Otherwise, you won't make the change. A lot of times, we know what changes we need to make. There's just no fire there, and so the change doesn't get made. Be zealous, on fire, therefore, and repent. You get that fire going about change, and we can change and move in the right directions. And then we need to be thinking. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Our thoughts control our actions. Our mind controls our body. The proverb writer says that out of the heart come the issues of life. So our heart needs to be filled with that which is good and wholesome, and that will keep the fire going. You think about the thoughts of the world, that will dampen the fire. That will put the fire out. But Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, whatever things are honorable, whatever things are just, right, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, that means character, that which builds up our character, not tears it down. And if there be any praise, think on these things, the things which you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, using Paul as an example, not someone out in the world as an example, but Paul is our example, and other men like him, the Lord and others, these things do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Our thoughts have to be controlled and governed. And those thoughts that come from godly principles and honorable principles and virtuous principles, those things will keep the fire going. Does your fire need to be rekindled? Does mine need to be rekindled? We examine our lives. We can honestly say that the heat is not there like it once was. The fuel is not there like it once was. Let us spend time with these things and the fire will come back. And it will be hot and it will drive us forward in this new year to move us to do the right kinds of things. We need to spend time with the right goals. What is our goal set on? What is our mind set on? Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, I press on toward the goal and to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, having our minds constantly set on heaven. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, as we run the race looking to Jesus, as we look toward the goal of heaven, that's going to keep the fire going. We want to cross that finish line, and so we want to keep the fire going to make it there, the fuel going to make it there. Don't have our minds set on the things of this life, but have our minds set on the things that are above. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. And then finally, spend time with prayer. Turn with me to James chapter 5. James uses the word fervent or hot with regard to prayer. If we will spend time with God's Word, godly people, godly actions and thoughts and goals and prayer, that fire can't go out. The devil will not be able to come along with a bucket of water and put that fire out. And prayer, I believe, tops it all. Prayer is going to be that fuel that keeps that going. In James chapter 5, we're told that, verse 16, the prayer, the supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working. There's going to be a fire there that makes it accomplish and work and get things done. And then here's the example. Elijah was a man of like passion with us, and he prayed fervently. Literally, it's prayed with prayer. It's the Greek way of saying fervent, over and over, continual, constant prayer that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and earth brought forth her fruit. Elijah prayed fervently. These things will keep the fire going. Well, the lesson is yours. Heart's on fire. Can we say, truly like Jeremiah, that his word burned within me? When we open our Bible, we can't wait to read it. We can't wait to meditate upon it. We can't wait to learn something. We can't wait to share that with somebody else. There needs to be a burning in us. Heartburn, as it were, a spiritual heartburn. Hearts on fire accomplish much good. And in 2011, you'll accomplish a lot for the Lord with fire in your heart. When Jesus went into the temple and made a scourge of cords and drove out the money changers and so forth, when his disciples saw that, they remembered the Old Testament passage, zeal for thy house hath eaten thee up. Jesus was hot. He was on fire that day. and look at what it accomplished for the Lord. Somebody says, well, I want to accomplish great things in 2011. It's going to come when there is fire in our heart from God's Word and godly things. Not only that, but you know what? Do you know that zeal is contagious? Do you know that when you're hot, you'll get somebody hot next to you? Do you know that your heat will radiate and it's contagious? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, with regard to the matter of giving, when Paul came to Corinth and told them about the matter of giving, we find in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 2, "For I know your readiness, of which I glory on your behalf to them of Macedonia, that Achaia hath been prepared for the year past, and your zeal," the word there is literally hot, bubbling over, boiling over, "your zeal hath stirred up very much many of them." Do you realize that your heat is contagious? Do you realize that your heat stirs up your spouse and your children and your family to be hot too? The verse says, "Your zeal hath stirred up many of them." So when I'm on fire, people around me are going to be stirred up to be on fire. If I'm cold, they're going to want to be cold. If I'm lukewarm, they're going to be encouraged to be lukewarm. But if every one of us will have that burning fire of God's Word within us, all we can do is stir each other up in that direction. And an entire congregation that is burning with the Word of God, consider the great things that it can accomplish in this new year. Well, the lesson is yours. I appreciate your attention. It's up to us now to make these principles, and let's let God's Word come into our life this morning. Maybe you need to make a change. Maybe you need to respond to the gospel. Maybe you need to obey the Lord. Are you zealous about doing that? You've heard the Word of God. You need to repent of your sins. Zealously repent, 2 Corinthians 7:11. You need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Or having become a Christian, maybe we've seen in the years past, or maybe this past year, that the fire has gone out a little bit. The fuel is not there like it once was. We need to rekindle that. We need to get back on track. We need to keep that going so that we can be firm all the way to the end. If we can encourage you to have the burning Word of God in your life this morning that will accomplish great things, why won't you come? As we stand and sing this song of invitation, we encourage you to come.